It's good to see you guys this morning. How are you feeling, okay? You ready for this? You all ready for this? Well, I invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Get familiar with it. We're going to be here a while in this letter. And we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 6 this morning. I applaud you for being here this morning, for disciplining yourself to sit here and listen to some person up front yim-yamming on. And I applaud you for that, because I know that there's lots of ways in which you could choose to spend your time on a weekend, but you're here, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I get to sit with this stuff all week and read through it, pray through it, think about it, write things over and over again. And hopefully the things that I'm sharing with you are encouraging you and helping you to grow and to challenge you, to transform you. That is my hope and desire as I look at the scriptures each week. So I'm really excited about this journey through the book of Philippians. It's life-changing stuff. There's some work that needs to be done on our parts as well. But just so you know, I believe that God is a healer, and that God can do all things, and he's not limited by our understanding. I believe that with all my heart. I also believe there's stuff that we got to do, and there's ways in which we need to participate with God in the healing process. And there are things that will be required of us, steps that we need to take. But I absolutely believe that when we take those steps, God meets us there in ways where his resurrection power really comes to life. So we're going to look at some big, big concepts this morning, but let's read first through Philippians chapter 1, and I'd like to just go back to verse 1 and then read all the way down to verse 6, just because we're beginning with grace and peace last week, and so let's start there and then end at verse 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi and Pittsburgh, with the bishops and the deacons, because we're about to get things done. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you We'll bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. God, we open ourselves up this morning to whatever you have for us, and we come to you in just a posture of surrender and excitement and adventure of whatever's next, knowing that you're the one inviting us to change, you're the one calling us, challenging us to face the things inside of us that need to be addressed. So, God, continue to fill us with your spirit and give us the courage and the strength to move forward, knowing that there is healing met when we come to you. Give us strength now. Lead us through the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. I think we're ready. I'm sensing we're ready. This is feeling good. So, as we read through a letter like this, I think one of the important things to remember, and this has really helped me when I approach the scripture, is to remember that the guy who wrote this is Jewish. He's Jewish to the bone, and that means that he is steeped in a really big story. He's steeped in tradition and history. He has the Old Testament memorized, like the Torah, those first five books, those really riveting books. He's got it memorized, so he's really able to engage with that, and you see that in particular in a lot of the New Testament writers. They just are able to interact with the scriptures really well. So one of the questions that I ask whenever I'm reading a letter I'm reading in the New Testament is, could this author be pulling from something else? So you look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, he who began a good work will complete it. And I stop there. And I think, okay, is Paul connecting to a bigger story? Where is he pulling this idea? Is this just some kind of catchphrase that Paul is throwing out into the world that hopes of bumper stickers, that this will show up on bumper stickers and on people's walls on plaques? Or is Paul thinking about a bigger concept, a bigger idea? Where could he be pulling from? So my mind goes back to the first two poems in the book of Genesis. There's these first two poems that you read in Genesis 1 and 2, and they're called creation poems. Now, could Paul be pulling from the creation stories that we read about in Genesis when he's talking about a good work, God creating something and then completing it? And I'm thinking, yes, there is a big possibility that very well could be true. So when we go back to Genesis, what's the first thing that we read? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God began something. He began, and then as creation unfolds, we get to verse 3 in Genesis chapter 1, and it says God speaks light into existence. So we see God acting on this beginning. He begins this creative process, and then when you go through the creation poem, you'll notice that things get more complex. We got light, we have sky, air, water, dirt, rock, all of these complex things, and then he gets to seeds, and he's like, these seeds actually reproduce themselves. These seeds go into the ground, and they kind of go into a grave, and then they spring forth in new life. Then he creates animals, more complex, and he says the animals then reproduce themselves. And then he gets to humanity, and he makes this declaration. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And some of you guys are doing a really good job at that, being fruitful and multiplying. It's a command that God gives us to be fruitful and multiply. And this ongoing process that we see in creation is this growing, this evolving, this changing, where you don't stay the same. There's like this constant stretching and moving. And I see this pattern in the universe. Like, this is how it works, that things die and then they come to life. Things get more complex as our story unfolds. And then under every cadence in the book of Genesis is this declaration. And what is that declaration? It is good, right? It is good. Every time he creates something, he says, it's good. This is good. I'm liking this. This is good. This is good. I like what you've done here. This is also good. Then he gets to humanity, and what does he say about humanity? He says, wait. What was the snarky comment in the back? Oh, oops. He made man, and he's like, uh-oh. And then he made woman, and he's like, it's all good. Yes. There we go. But under like the driving narrative of everything that God begins, he says what? This is good. So that's the driving engine of the universe. If we think about how does the universe work, how is it all driven, what's the story behind it? It's good. Everything is good. God's movement is good. What God is doing is good. The work that he began in you when he breathed life into your bones, he said, this is good. It also means I'm not done with you, and I'm going to work with you, and we're going to work with the things that you create, and then I'm going to complete it. Because we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, and it says that God looked back at everything that he had made, and he completed it. He brought it to wholeness. So I look at that, and I think, wow, he who began a good work will complete it. And I'm thinking, in Genesis 1, like the starting story of history as it unfolds, is that God begins something, he gives him full self to it, he works with it, he creates in it, and then he completes it. So I'm like going, wait a minute, this is like blowing my mind. All the cylinders in my head are blinking at this point. It's like we're only in 6 verses, and like Paul takes this thing and he cranks it up to 11. He's like, we're 6 verses in, and he's got grace and peace. He begins with grace and peace. He's like, these really big concepts. And then he gets just down to verse 6 in the letter. He who began a good work will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This really big, huge, beautiful concept. So let's explore this some more. 2 Corinthians, or as Donald Trump calls 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says this. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. Paul, again, pulling from Genesis 1. Let light shine out of darkness. Made his light shine in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. Now, you step back from that. According to Paul, the same light, that same power that spoke light into existence now lives in us. You're like, what? You're like, try to get your head around that. That same power is now giving us understanding of God and Jesus. It's like, whoa, all the things are just blowing up. What's going on here? That same power that created light, that dynamic power and energy, standing outside this morning greeting people and the sun is beating down, all that vitamin D is coming into my system, taking it in, feeling the warmth. That same power that God spoke into existence now lives in me. And as I sit with that and meditate with that, I'm like, whoa, the possibilities are huge. What are the implications of that? Where does my heart and my mind go with that? All of that now shining in you. And we're only six verses in. Only six, and this is going on. He who began a good work, that moment when he breathed life into your bones, into your body, he said, I'm giving you everything I have, and I'm breathing it into you, and I'm unleashing it in your life right now. And I'm going to commit myself completely to you, and I'm going to help you become the person that I created you to be. And that's the journey. He's like, throughout life, I'm giving all of myself to you, and I'm going to help you along through all your failures and all your missteps, and I'm going to help you to discover who you really are. And that's the journey that we're on. Because here's the thing, friends, when we say yes to Jesus, I mean, we say yes, and we say yes to the open tomb, and we say yes to resurrection, all of that power that raised Jesus from the dead now is unleashed in your life. And like, that's huge. Yeah, that deserves a woo for sure. It's all unleashed in you. And all we can say to that is yes. Or we can say no. And that's the thing. We can unplug from that or disconnect from that or decide that's not for me. There's this Jewish philosopher, an educator named Martin Buber. I just love saying his name. Hey, I'm Martin Buber. And Martin Buber has these two positions, he says, you can take to life. You can take the yes position to life, or you can choose to take the no position to life. And the yes position to life is saying yes to everything that God brings to me. Yes, even the hard parts. Like, we don't want to, like, throw that in the parentheses. Even the hard parts. The things that God is continuing to bring up and challenging us, because how does it work in the universe, friends? It grows, it expands, it evolves, it changes. It doesn't stay in a certain area. It's either dying or it's growing, but nothing in between. So all of that is given to us, and when we say yes to that, we're opening ourselves up to absolute vulnerability and an openness. Okay, God, whatever you bring into my life, I'm saying yes to that. Even the scary stuff, even the hard stuff. Even the stuff that I don't want to step into, I'm saying yes to that. Or you can say, no, I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to change because I'm always right. I'm going to resist. See, like, the no position is an absolute resistance. Like, no, I don't want to face that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to talk about that stuff. No. And we close off for a variety of reasons. I don't know what it is for you. But we all have this tendency to kind of go into that no position because it's like, that's too hard or that's too difficult. But the yes position is the position I believe is like that's where the power of creation is unleashed in you, where you open yourself up, there's vulnerability, there's an openness that maybe I could be part of the problem and that maybe God is calling me to change and asking me to look at some of the hard stuff inside of me, or I can say no and just continue to resist and continue to stay where I'm at and not grow and evolve. You can say yes to all that creative power. That's the beauty of what Paul is saying here. It's like, you can open yourself up to that. You can allow yourself to go, I'm going to take this. This is good news. And I'm going to receive all that God brings me to, even the hard stuff. It's like when the hard stuff comes, it's like, bring it on. Let's do this. Let's go. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to evolve. I want to look at the hard stuff inside of me, because what I believe is at the very center of how the world works is that wherever God is taking us, it is good. That's what I believe. Wherever he's taking us, the relationships, the difficult things. Like my dad used to encourage me, and he says, Jonathan, when God brings those difficult people in your life, you should be thanking God that they're there. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, old man. What do you mean? Those are gifts. Those are opportunities for you to grow, to challenge you, to stretch you, to look at yourself, like, what's going on inside of me? And the question that I ask myself very often is, are you living with this deep awareness that the same power that created the world is now somehow living in and through us? Am I living with this awareness that it's living and breathing in me? Because I like have this constant sense of this invitation to change. Like, God is not done. He began a work, he's creating something in me, and he's going to complete it. And I've got, what, maybe another 40 years left. That's still a long time. I'm guessing I'm going to make it to 87. At 87, I guess it's farewell. Nice knowing you all. This power, I believe, can actually help us to overcome addictions. It can help us to overcome issues in our marriages and in our relationships. It can help us to transform and to change. However, there's always a however. First of all, I have to begin by like that first step in AA. And what's the first step of AA? Yeah, say it out loud, Ron.
I have a problem, and I'm powerless. My life is out of control.
That's right. I got a problem. I'm powerless. My life is out of control. It's unmanageable. And that's the first step. That's the first step of like, okay, I can't do this on my own. There's something here that needs to bring healing in my life. And here's the crazy thing, my friends. You can resist that. You can ignore that. You can slow down the process of healing. And one of the ways that you can do that is just keep doing the same stuff that you've always been doing. And just stay there. It's crazy. It's absolutely insanity. But so often, we do that. Do I believe that God can heal? Yes, with all my heart. I also believe that we have to be a willing participant in that healing process. Amen. We have to step into that and go, okay, God, I got to do my part. Do I believe that God can heal people physically? Yes, I've seen it. So I'd be a fool to deny it. I believe that God can heal, but I also believe that emotional healing, psychological healing, the deep stuff that gets really stuffed in there, that takes a lot of work. And it takes time. And again, what we can do is we can ignore that stuff and just say, well, I'm not going to deal with that. That's just insanity. And what I feel is God inviting us to kind of face some of those hard stuff. That's what I'm talking about, that yes position to life. Yes. Yes, let's do this. Let's face this stuff. Help me to process this, Father. What's going on inside of me? And in what ways am I resisting it? And why do I keep resisting it? What's causing the resistance? And that's where the courage, that step forward of, I don't know what's causing this resistance, but I want to learn what's going on inside of me that's keeping me from growing and evolving and changing. What's causing me to say no? It's like, what's behind that no? I want to know what's going on back there. Because I want to say yes. But I keep saying no. What's behind that? What's keeping me from opening myself up to all this creative power of unleashing that God wants to do in our lives? What's keeping us from that? Because when I say yes to Jesus, I say yes to the open tomb. I say yes to resurrection. What I'm saying yes to is unbelievably powerful. And I want more of that in my life. I mean, if you look at what God began, when he brought Jesus into the world, he showed up in human form. God began something in the life of Jesus. He says, I'm going to show up in human form. I'm going to show you what I'm like. And then we look at the life of Jesus. He unravels everything that God is. He's showing us, this is what I'm like. And we see Jesus going into all certain kinds of situations with relationships with people, healing people, helping people, giving them hope, inviting them to change. And then what happens? Jesus dies. And then he resurrects. That's the pattern. And I think that's another big pattern in the universe. Like, that's how it works. God unleashes something in you. There's this creative process, but then there's a death that needs to happen, and there can be no resurrection in your life without death. You don't just get to go, resurrection. There has to be a death. The pattern is life, death, resurrection, life, death, resurrection, life, death, resurrection. You look at it in nature. Every year we go through these cycles. Things die, they come back to life. You look at life itself. Things die, they come back to life. That's the cycle. We see it over and over again, that pattern that seems to be woven into the very fabric of the universe. And what the scripture says is that same power that raised Christ from the dead is now living in you. It's living in you. It's like, just try to wrap your head around that. Good luck. You're like, what? What is that? And exploring that death and resurrection. Now, back to the creation thing for a moment. When God created seeds, when you take a seed, you got this little tiny thing. Inside that seed exists everything that seed was created to be, but it's wrapped up in a shell. And like, in order for that seed to become what it's truly designed to be, what has to happen to the seed? It's got to go into the ground. It's got to go into a grave. And you got to bury it. It's like, that's the part we don't want. And then God waters it, and he puts light on it, and he breathes life into it. And somehow, at a certain point, the seed breaks and pops out and becomes what it's truly designed to be. It's like, oh, that pattern's woven into the fabric of the universe. We see Jesus' pattern of life, death, and resurrection. How's it going to be any different for us? That's the thing that we're invited to. Now, when I look at that, all these big concepts, I think to myself, okay, there are parts of Jonathan that need to die. There are things that I'm holding on to that need to die. There are things inside of us that we are absolutely convinced that we need to have. It's like even the dysfunctional stuff. It's so weird to me. Let me talk to a few of you dysfunctional people in here for a moment, because I know there's 12 of you in here right now. 12. There's two that admit it. Good. There are parts of us that are so dysfunctional and we're so close to it that we're not even aware of it. And that's crazy. And I'm talking to myself. We're not even aware of it. There's actually some ways inside of us that we've actually grown quite fond of our dysfunction, and we kind of like, it works for me. I kind of want to keep it. I've heard people say, you know what? This is just the way I am. You're just going to have to deal with it. I'm just a crotchety old man. Okay, I'm not sure what to do with that. But when I look back at the trajectory of my own life, there were these key moments, and I call them like these invitations to surrender, where I had to make a conscious choice. Do I want this or not? Am I going to take the yes position to this or the no position? Am I going to resist this? And I call them moments of invitation, moments of growth. I remember being in therapy. Man, my therapist was so good at uncovering my ego. I couldn't get away with anything. I'd be sitting in there with my wife, because she was the problem. And I'm thinking, notice how free I am because Shanna's not here. This is a load of crap. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm playing the role of the good husband. Yeah, I'll go to therapy. Wait until we uncover all of her garbage. Then we're just going to see she's the problem. And this woman kept turning the mirror back at me. And I'm thinking, what's up with that? Why do you keep turning the mirror back at me? What, like, don't you know how screwed up she is? And she was so gifted, she wouldn't let me get away with anything. And I kept feeling like, man, God's showing up today and he looks an awful lot like my therapist. Her name was Anita, just a godsend. And she had this gentle yet really strong way of kind of like seeing into me. And I didn't like that. I don't want y'all looking into me. But as she began to kind of crack me open, it caused me to go, there's some things I got to deal with. See, I had some wounds that I had to deal with that I didn't want to. And she helped me process those wounds. Some things that were keeping me from growing. And she would ask me, do you want to get well? Yeah. Okay. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some work. And you're going to have to be really honest with yourself. But do you want this? Okay. And I have to be honest. There were weeks when I didn't want to go. I didn't want to face her. Because I'm like, man, she keeps calling me on my stuff. I'm awesome. And she just wouldn't let me get away with anything. I couldn't hide from her. I couldn't hide. And I hated it and I loved it. Because I knew, wait. Life, death, resurrection. there's some things in me I've got to surrender. This is the pattern. This is where God is leading me. I'm saying yes to this even though it's hard and even though it was painful. And see, there were times when things would come up inside of me, even in my times with her, where I would be like, no, and I'd shove it back down, and I didn't want to deal with it, and I would divert and say, let's talk about her. Let's go back to Shannon. And it would come back to me, and this thing kept like rising up in me, and I just would want to shove it down and laugh it off. But the God who began a work in me, in Shannon, in our marriage, in our family, in our life together, all of the power of creation has been unleashed in me. And good luck at trying to control that. It was like, no. This has got to change. And all this stuff kept coming in me, and I was invited to be whole. There was like this invitation to wholeness. And I realized the longer I resist this and the longer I keep just doing what I'm doing, I'm going to continue to remain in this zombie-like existence where I'm kind of alive, but I'm really dead. And all of these things inside of me, until one day I remember making a conscious choice. I am going to participate with God in the healing process. I'm going to do this. And it was one of the hardest things that I've had to do in my life. And what I learned was that death, resurrection is a real thing, and that it happens over and over again, and that power of creation was unleashed in my life. I realized at a different level, Christ has the final word over my marriage and over my life and over my future. He's the one who holds it all together. It was more than just words on a page. It was more than just words in some book. It became real. I'm like, man, this stuff is alive. And well, it was like all of the power of creation was unleashed in my life. So let's turn this back around to you, because that makes me more comfortable. Are you ready to say yes? Are you ready to open yourself up and participate with God in the healing process? Are you ready for that? And do you want that? Are you ready to open yourself up and become more aware of the reality that the power of creation has been unleashed in your life? Because what I've realized in my own journey is that there's more adventure than I ever thought could be possible to my daily existence, because I've opened myself up. There's a lightness in my life because of the hard work. It's like, I feel light, a little bit more laughter that comes from this freedom. Was it easy? Gosh, no. It was 5 years of darkness, and it was really tough. It was really, really hard. God, who began a good work, is working on you right now, and he will complete it. My question is, do you want that? And are you willing to open yourself up to that and to work out all the implications of what that looks like in your life? Let me ask you another question. What good work do you crave in your life this morning? What do you crave? What do you want for you in your own journey? See, I think there's this invitation, this longing that exists in the very heart of God, and many times it's simply just taking one step. And for me, that one step, it was an invitation, but it was an invitation to death. And I was like, well, I don't want that. But that death led to life, because what I had to do is I actually had to leave some of my dysfunctional behavior behind that I had grown so fond of. And what happened to me was that some people thought I was going crazy because I was getting well. Isn't that weird? And you know what else? I lost some relationships. And that was hard. Because I was getting well and there was healing taking off, I actually lost some relationships. Because the relationship worked in more of a dysfunctional way, and I was getting well. And I was like, this ain't working anymore. And that was really hard. But through that, I developed new relationships. And there was new life coming forth. And so the pattern is there's always new life waiting for us. And there's always more waiting for us. But are we willing to take that step that is so painful? God, who began a good work, is going to complete it. He's going to complete it. And I believe he will complete it. And he will bring it to wholeness. But you've got to open yourself up to that. So I'm inviting you to do that, to take that step. I don't know what that looks like for you. It could be taking a step towards me and just saying, will you help me? Okay, let's see what we can do. Do you know others who can help me? Yes, I do know some people that can help you take those steps towards wholeness. But I invite you into that journey. That's the journey we're going to be going through as we walk through Philippians, right? It's a good journey. It's a difficult journey, but it leads to life. And I want more life. I want that for you. I want more grace. I want grace and peace to get a handle on you and to transform you and change you. So God, we do say yes to you this morning. We say yes to everything that you have for us, even the hard parts. And we open ourselves up to that. And now what we're going to do, Father, is we're going to come to the table and we're going to partake of the life, the death, and the resurrection, knowing that this meal was given to us as an expression of everything that you gave. You gave yourself to us, broken, poured out, died, resurrected. And so when we come, we're partaking of life itself. We're saying yes to Jesus. So when you're ready, come forward saying yes to the resurrection of Christ, taking grace and peace into your life and receiving the gift of God. So come forth when you're ready. And Ezra has this table over here, and I'll be serving from this table over here. I was laughing because someone came up and took the cracker and ate it before everybody else, but he learned that from his pastor. So I thought, well, to stand in solidarity with my friend, I thought I would double dip. Because I feel like sometimes we need a double dose of what God has for us. And I'm so grateful that God has given us his son, Jesus. Best gift you could ever get. And knowing that he says, I'm going to give you my best in myself, and that is my son, Jesus Christ, who gives his life for us, who pours out his life for us, who's dedicated everything to us and says, I'm going to do something in your life and I'm going to complete it. And I believe that with all my heart. And so when I take this, I'm taking that reality, and I'm saying, now that I take this, I'm going to pour myself out to others, and I'm going to be grace and peace to other people because of the goodness drives it all. So let's take together, single or double, we'll take it. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't know what the day holds before you. I'm assuming there's some Super Bowl goodness ahead for many of you. But my encouragement to you this week is pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to what's going on inside of you as you continue to open yourself up to what God's doing in your life, because he's not done with you yet. And there's some work that needs to be done in all of us, understanding that power that created the sun that you will feel in just a few moments has been unleashed in your life. And you can have that. Just open yourself up to it. Receive it. Receive the goodness of God this week, the driving engine behind it all. And may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with every last one of you. Thank you.